What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming FanDuel DraftKings. It's your host, Sean Kane, and we are looking at a Friday slate featuring, don't get upset with me, I'm pretty bad at counting, 10 games. 10 games on this Friday slate. Some good ones, some dumpster fires for sure. Some rough ones. Sacramento Memphis highlights the, oh my God, why is this happening? Dallas Detroit is pretty depressing as well. Charlotte Orlando, also very, very deeply sad. There's a couple bad ones, but there's a couple good ones too. You know, a couple relevant games that teams need. Cleveland, Philadelphia should be fun to watch those guys duke it out. In Indiana, Toronto is actually, that actually matters. Although not really, actually, Toronto kind of locked up that top spot in the East. So kind of a mixed bag, I guess, is the best way to describe this one. Not like tonight where everything's relevant, but we're going to talk about it. Josh is here. We're going to break it down. We'll go through the first part of the show. Of course, we'll get through the Vegas lines. We'll talk injuries. We'll talk rotations, anything that you need to know going into the slate. And then we'll get into the player breakdown, and we'll talk about exactly which players we love. We'll try to throw together a lineup, give you guys something to work with going into the slate. So let's not waste any time. Let's take a look at tonight. Okay, first things first, Charlotte at Orlando, the game that nobody wants to watch. 211 total here. Charlotte is favored by 5 on the road. Charlotte side of things, the biggest news that you are looking at is Malik Monk. He has been getting 24 consistent minutes just kind of for development purposes, which you really wonder why it is they haven't played a more dynamic scorer like him and why they insisted on playing Michael Carter fucking Williams the whole season when they had Malik Monk, who is a capable rookie that they want to get involved. Doesn't make sense to me. Just poor front office, poor decision-making. You need this kid. You want him to develop. He is a lottery pick. Just terrible, terrible administration. They just haven't given him a chance. They smother him, no breathing room, nothing at all. So he's getting 24, 25 minutes. He's made the best of that in the last two, getting 13 to 15 shots up respectively. 24 and 28 fantasy points. Now, he did get a little bit lucky in the fourth quarter of the Chicago game. He scored 21 points and put some pressure on them. If we got the news that he was going to play like ahead of Nick Batum or like they would rest some of these guys, we could definitely play him with confidence. It's hard on a 10-game slate. It's a little bit easier on a 6-game slate. You feel like you're strapped for value. You want to be different. That's a good way to do it. Not so much here. On the Orlando side, we had Nick Vucevic out the other night. I would expect him to play on this one. They shouldn't have to tank quite so hard against these guys, but Shelvin Mack will probably play 25-plus minutes. DJ Augustine only played 20 in the last two, so keep an eye on his minutes. I don't think they're coming back. Mario Hezonja is getting 30-plus, and he's been productive. The guy can score. He wants to score. Wes Iwundu played 31 minutes the other night as well. So the rotations are changing in Orlando. See if anybody's resting. See if anybody's going to sit out with a random injury. And then we'll go from there. I don't think you have to have anybody here. I don't mind Aaron Gordon, but I don't think you have to have anyone specifically in this game. Moving over to Atlanta at Washington, 209 total here. If Washington is favored by 12 at home, makes good sense to me. The one thing that I am going to keep my eye on here is whether or not we get John Wall in the back-to-back. I would not be surprised if you see him sit and we get Satoransky, in which case, love it. Fire up your Satoranskys against Atlanta. He'll have fresh legs and he will have, he's been playing good minutes. Kind of as a second unit, 1-2 swing guard, 27 minutes in the last two games. But if you get full Satoransky against Atlanta, you got to go to that, especially because his price is going down. That's not it, but it'll be interesting to look at these Washington side of things. I think Beal's in play. I think you could talk me into Otto Porter and Markieff Morris, possibly Markieff Morris, but definitely Otto Porter. You could talk me into him as well. Mike Scott revenge game would be interesting. I think the one thing in Atlanta, you got to see if Torian Prince is going to play. He's questionable. That would, I mean, this, it would be really hard to understand exactly who's going to get run in this situation. Tyler Dorsey is guaranteed to get some good time. Isaiah Taylor, Damian Lee, all of those guys are definitely going to play. John Collins will likely play as well. How much of these do you want? You know, I think it's just about price watching. It's hard to project when they're going to show up and when they're not. There's not a lot of consistent. There's some consistency in usage, but there's just not consistent who's scoring. So be careful what you wish for with this Hawks value. But I think you could definitely squeeze a little bit more value out of those guys for sure. Cleveland at Philadelphia, 223 total. Philadelphia is favored by 3 at home. Wow, that's a big deal. Even without Joel Embiid, for them to be favored at home is really, really impressive stuff. One of the higher totals on the night. Philadelphia will be without Dario Saric. Of course, that's going to lead to a whole lot of Ersan Ilyasova, and then backed up by of course Rashawn Holmes and Amir Johnson. So those guys will share about 20 plus minutes each. For my money, Ilyasova continues to be the best bet. Although I think he's probably going to potentially struggle with foul trouble if he is the guy, who you know has to guard LeBron, which I think that'll probably be Simmons, right? Do I want Simmons? Yes, of course I want Ben Simmons. He's been insane as far as fantasy points per minute, blowing out some bad teams here. This will be a nice challenge for them. They can overtake the 3 seed on the Cleveland side. Let's see if George Hill jumps back in the lineup. It'd be interesting to see if that ankle injury was severe, if it was just rest on the back-to-back. I'd be interested to see that. Chicago at Boston, 201 total. Boston favored by 10. Kyrie out for the season. Yikes. Scary Terry, let's go. Put the team on your back. Yeah, I mean, it's Scary Terry's team. Now's the time. You're going to get plenty of good run from him. Who knows if Shane Larkin is going to be back. He's been sick for a while. I would expect him to be back. He's been out for almost a week. So my guess is we'll see Shane Larkin back in the lineup. He'll tell you to take away some of those minutes from Kadeem Allen. Terry Rozier should get good playing time. He shot poorly against Toronto, not a surprise. I would expect him to bounce back in good form against Chicago. Jaylen Brown has had nice games against this team, as well as Jason Tatum. So all those guys in play, and don't forget about Marcus Morris. He will show up for sure, and a very capable scorer. So any of these Boston starters, very interesting to me, moderately priced. I think the one guy that could be sneaky is Greg Monroe. 23 minutes behind Aaron Baines and Al Horford. You're not going to need a ton of defense. He could play down the stretch in a blowout if they try to get Al Horford off the court, you know, at the 28-minute mark or something like that. So Greg Monroe, a sneaky scorer for center. I like him as a potential value pivot down there on the center slate. Indiana at Toronto. This is a 208 total, and Toronto is favored by 7. Indiana will be coming off the back-to-back. They are currently beating Golden State, I believe. They were last I checked. Let's see if that is still holding true. And it is. Wow, they're walloping them. 20 points. Yikes. Yikes. That's an impressive win. Wow, 20 points at home. Good for you, you guys. Oh, well, Bogdan is on fire. Or Boyan's on fire from 3. That'll do it. That will do it. Boyan Bogdanovic going nuclear will help. Anyhow, okay, so Indiana. Indiana on the back-to-back. So they're up by 20. Who plays the fourth quarter? Does Victor Oladipo just get 20 minutes? Get some rest in the fourth quarter? I think they're going to see some fresh legs for some of these guys. So if you want to go to Depot in this situation, I think you could. I think you're probably going to see a nice full rotation, you know, a healthy Indiana team. Not a ton of stress on them in the second half here. And I don't mind Depot in this situation. I think he'll probably play upwards of 35, and we've seen him start to kick it into a little bit of a higher gear. He's interesting in this spot. On the Toronto side, no serious injuries that we need to be concerned about. The thing that you got to really continue to think about is this Kyle Lowry slump. Where is he going? I mean, he can't hit right now, and he has not scored more than 30 points in the last three games. So the shooting is off for him. The shooting was off for DeRozan as well in that Boston game, but the bench, of course, carries them. Van Vliet, DeLon Wright had phenomenal games. I don't really want to go to those guys against Indiana, although I don't mind them, but Indiana also has a good amount of depth and you know, kind of second unit guys that aren't really, they're more like bench, you know, bench starters. I think the interesting person here for me is Jonas Valanciunas, who's had some big games in the middle against Miles Turner. He would be interesting for me. I like to prioritize him in plus matchups. Miami at New York, 209 total. Miami favored by 9 in this one. We are probably not going to see Enes Kanter, so fire up your Kyle O'Quinn's chalk night. Kyle O'Quinn had a really nice night against Orlando, and 30 minutes of Kyle O'Quinn can mean 30 fantasy points. So don't have a problem with that, obviously. Tim Hardaway Jr. continues to get 30 minutes. They have not put him below 30 minutes yet. So look for the Beasley news. He's a guy who may be out, may be in, who knows. Trey Burke will continue to play the majority of the point guard minutes in this situation. You know, they're all in play. It's all about pricing. It's all about lineup construction. And, you know, do you want to play them against Miami? Not particularly. You know, that's the concern here. On the Miami side of things, they all took a couple nights off. They took a couple, a couple guys rested for Miami against Atlanta. Specifically Dwayne Wade, Goran Dragic, James Johnson. My guess is they'll fire it up on Friday. Goran Dragic is not going to be on the Friday injury report, so he is probable to go against the Knicks here. I think you can definitely attack the Knicks in this spot with some of the Heat starters. I like Josh Richardson again. I like those wings. I like James Johnson at the four. I like Kelly Olynyk. I mean, he's so efficient. So efficient. I don't mind Hassan Whiteside either. But you guys know personally I hate Hassan Whiteside, so I can't play him, but I would rather play Kelly. Sacramento at Memphis, 202 total. Memphis favored by 3. Virtually no one playing on the Memphis side of things. Like they have no Marc Gasol. They have no Jarrell Martin. And they are obviously already down Andrew Harrison, Wayne Selden. They are down. When Mario Chalmers has not played, Tyreek Evans has not played. So who is healthy on the Memphis side of things? Here's the list. Kobe Simmons, Ben McLemore, Ben McLemore, Dylan Brooks, not Jamichael Green. He's been out for a while. Marshawn Brooks, Ivan Robb. this roster, it's Deontay Davis. Who else? There's one more that I know I'm missing, and I know this is terrible radio. This is their team. This is what they committed to. This is what they committed to. Good for you. Marcus Teague is playing some. Mike Henry has been playing 22 minutes or so. This is not a basketball team. This is a disaster. So, I mean, let's see who's active tomorrow. This is disgusting. On the Sacramento side of things, at least they are putting up a respectable tank. De'Aaron Fox is full control of the point guard position, but Buddy Hield and Bogdan should be interesting here against Phoenix. Bogdan put up 21 shots the other night. That was a pretty good number. I'm interested in that again. Justin Jackson, 40 minutes for him. I'm interested in him on the wing. I think he's going to be interesting. Scal, sure, if he goes, okay. And WCS without Marc Gasol in the middle, I think, is interesting. So the Sacramento young core, we can get behind them. I think that Memphis is bad enough that I could be interested. Low total, but I'm okay with it. New Orleans at Phoenix. Phoenix, a 220 total here, and Phoenix 10-point home dogs. New Orleans favored by 10 in this one. New Orleans, no serious injuries that we need to be concerned about. They signed Jordan Crawford back. That's because Ian Clark is down for 2 weeks. So they put up Jordan Crawford, I think, on a 10-day, at least a 10-day. You got to love Jrue Holiday here. You got to love Jrue Holiday. You got to love Rondo here, too. 28 minutes of Rondo against this team. You could easily get double-digit assists. I like Nico here also, who's been underpriced recently. So you could probably get a good run out of Cheick Diallo as well, who's been getting 24 minutes. He could get upwards of 25 minutes against this team and do some damage. Yeah. There's definitely some Pelicans that we want to get involved in. Oh, Etuan Moore, I don't know how. I mean, he got hot from three against Memphis, but you could definitely talk me into Etuan Moore again against Phoenix, no doubt. So plenty of pieces to go to, and obviously Anthony Davis is going to be interesting, but you're paying a premium for a guy who might not have to really stretch too hard. Minnesota at L.A., no total here. Why? Jimmy Butler. He was questionable ahead of tonight's game. I don't think he should play tonight, but he might. He's going to be a game time decision, which is just dumb, but whatever. We are going to see, some. Well, we'll see if what the Jeff Teague status is tonight. I'm guessing he is going to go. He's a game time decision, but my guess is he'll play, and then they'll potentially rest him and let Tyus Jones take the Laker game, which would be amazing if we get Tyus Jones versus the Lakers. I'm interested in a lot of pieces in Minnesota here. This is a good win. They need to get this win, especially if they lose to Denver tonight. So we should see a decently high total, and we should see a good amount of fantasy production from these guys for sure. So that is it. That is all. Let's get into the player breakdown with Josh, and we'll figure out exactly who we love. Who do you love? All right, I got my man Josh Fernandez here. Josh, I know right now your mind and your heart are drifting towards baseball, but you're not completely there because you were smart enough to play Darren Collison tonight against the Warriors, which was a really sharp play, a trend that that was a really good one to exploit. That's recently been hot. So I'm glad you're here. How much do you have left for basketball right now? Mental space.
Oh man. I love the NBA. I love the playoffs. I love NBA DFS. But dude, this first week of MLB reminded me of why I love it so much. Just looking at all the OPS and WRC plus and XFIP and all that stuff, you can geek out way more on the stats. And that, as you guys know, and you know, Sean, is like, FanGraphs is like my favorite porn site.
It is. Hell of a drug, but we say. That's what we always say.
So I got something left for NBA, and we're going to have a good little pod here. We're going to finish up the regular season pretty well, I think, and hopefully the NBA playoffs, as DFS goes, will be, nice to see if we can exploit that.
Yeah, no, we'll keep talking about it. I mean, we'll switch the pod over at some point during April. But, the NBA, DFS, and playoffs, those first couple rounds are actually fun when you have, three or four game nights. Those are pretty good. So we still got stuff to talk about, Ho. This slate is not bad. There's a couple disaster games, but there's a couple really nice ones and some good spots to exploit. So let's go ahead and jump in. We're going to start with the top of the slate. And John Wall seems to have woken up, man. He's having a game right now with Cleveland. No George Hill. Really became a spot to get after Wall. And they are still down 10, but John Wall currently out there with over 25 fantasy points. He has 10.6 assists, two steals, and two rebounds. So the ball is falling for him. It seems like he is back into rounding into good form. We'll see how he plays the rest of the night here against Washington. But then he has a real nice cushy matchup with Atlanta. So long as he seems to be, you know, good to go on the back-to-back, I think he's possibly in play. Matchup is one of the second best in overall efficiency plus-minus for the Wizards and for the point guard specifically in plus-minus. So plus 4% they've offered to point guard opposition in the last 10. One big game to Goran Dragic, who just put up nearly 45 against them the other night. You know, we haven't seen the ceiling game from Wall, but it looks like it's coming on tonight. I don't think Atlanta's necessarily going to stop him. I just worry about whether or not they limit him on the back-to-back or whether or not he even needs to or he gets sat down for Satoransky. Now, he gets sat down for Satoransky, this matchup transfers over to Tomas, and we're firing up Tomas in all formats versus Atlanta. So, Josh, you follow the Wizards. That's your regional team, hometown squad. Do you think John Wall gives it a go?
Honestly, I have reservations. Okay. I don't know if he's going to go. I don't know if it's really smart for them to even risk it. Sure. Considering Atlanta is just a bunch of G League guys right now. If he plays, it's an awesome matchup. And if he plays, like, they don't, you know, they don't really limit his minutes when he starts, you know, so he should play a full allotment of minutes. That said, I did notice that Sato's salary from Thursday to Friday jumped like $800.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if like
that could be the matchup.
That was like a human being that did that, or it could be the matchup. I don't know if like humans actually curate these salaries at all, or if it's just like completely algorithm driven. But just something to keep in mind. But yeah, it's probably matchup. But, you know, I don't know. I just don't really see a point. But yeah, if he plays, I love it.
Yeah, that's a good call. Mm-hmm. I like this call, though, too. I mean, Jrue Holiday feels like almost a lock button type play against Phoenix tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, like the only other guy above him in salary is Depot. He's in a really tough matchup with the Raptors. That team is number one on our trend sheet against shooting guards. They're the best against shooting guards, according to our trend sheet. I mean, I'm not saying that Depot is a bad play. You know, I think that, you know, it will continue to be him as the focal point. You know, it's just that his upside is limited by the opposition. You know, Toronto's really, really tough draw for him. But Jrue Holiday, on the other hand, has the best shooting guard matchup on the slate and in the NBA, actually, and that's the Phoenix Suns. They're number 30 on our trend sheet against shooting guards, and for what it's worth, they're 28th against point guards. So Thursday night right now, the Pels are sitting 8th in the West. They've got Denver, they've got LA, the Clippers right on their heels. The game's probably going to be a cakewalk for the Pels. I don't really think that we should expect Holiday to play 35-plus minutes. I mean, we've seen crazier things happen. We've seen, you know, James Harden go out or Russell Westbrook go out to Phoenix and, you know, play almost 40 minutes, these guys, and just go bananas and score 70 FanDuel points against them. So I don't think that teams in contention are necessarily going to just like outright bench their starters just because they're playing the Suns. But we just should not expect him to play enough minutes to just go bananas and give us some like insane line. But here's the thing. Like, they're in the eighth seed. Like, they really don't have much room to dick around, you know, and rest starters and stuff. You know, it's not impossible for Phoenix to keep the game close. And if they don't take them seriously, you know, it's not impossible for the Suns to beat them. You know, we've seen crazier things happen. You know, it's not like New Orleans is an elite team. So I do think that, you know, it's pretty safe to say that Holiday is going to play a decent amount of minutes. But like I said, I just don't want to go into it with the expectation that he's going to just like go out there for 38 minutes and, you know,
right,
just go bananas. So, you know, just kind of treading somewhat lightly.
Yeah. Yeah. But the price actually, you know, I mean,
40 plus, that's not crazy for him in this situation, even if he only plays 30 minutes, you know, 30 on the nose. I think you could see him go over a fantasy point per minute comfortably and get him to 40. So I like that. He's a high floor play. You're paying for the four, but it's okay. I got to think that paying for LeBron tomorrow night versus Philadelphia will be just pretty smart. No Joel Embiid is going to change the defensive rating of this team in a major way. They go from one of the best defensive teams to a pretty mediocre defense without Embiid on the floor. Bron will be defending his three seed in the East against Simmons, who they are currently tied, I believe. I believe if Cleveland wins tonight, they're currently tied right now. If Cleveland wins tonight, they're one game ahead of Philadelphia. However, you know, of course, if Philadelphia beats Cleveland in this situation, you're going to get them, you know, the one for one there. Is it going to change the seeding just a little bit?
I think if Cleveland wins tonight, wouldn't they? I don't know if they'd be like a half game ahead or not.
They would be I think they would be a full game ahead.
Okay,
tomorrow night. Yeah, I think tomorrow night if Philadelphia wins, they would be. Maybe Cleveland would be a half game, or they'd be tied. I'm not sure. We'll see. I have to look back at the standings. We'll see what it is for tomorrow. Needless to say, Philadelphia is nipping at their heels. It would be wild if Philadelphia actually moved up the standings without Joel Embiid in the lineup. Like Ben Simmons, give him the rookie of the year now. It doesn't make sense. They've been blowing people out with no Embiid. It's wild. So I love LeBron, though, in this situation. He hasn't had less than 52 in this matchup this year. One time he had 65. There's no one there to protect the rim with Joel Embiid. Obviously, Ben Simmons is going to be a good defender, but this could be a situation where LeBron just has to take over, play 38 minutes, do it himself. I like this one a lot. I don't mind the other pieces, like a Kevin Love, I think, is interesting as well, but everything starts with LeBron for me in this situation. So I think he's a high floor play. I'm not worried about price. The rest of the slate shakes out that I think you can feel, and you'll talk about this, I think you can feel comfortable moving away from Anthony Davis and maybe spending on LeBron, even though the AD is in such a good matchup. It's kind of an awkward how bad the Suns have been. It's not awkward, but it's like, It's difficult to wrap your head around paying for AD in a situation against the Suns where they're going to blow him out. So talk to us about power forward and how to approach that position.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 13,000 for AD against the Suns. I mean, maybe if this was happening like a couple months ago, and there was more of a reason to like, well, not more of a reason, but less of a risk to just let him go out there and like a, you know, in this type of setting and just let him go ham on the Suns. Like, I think I would view it differently, but the playoffs are, you know, on the horizon. And I just don't think that there is a logical reason for AD to go out there and play like almost 40 minutes like he typically does. I mean, Nico and Diallo and Etuan Moore, you know, Okafor, you know, like guys, you know, forwards and bigs that team has, they can definitely handle the likes of Alan Williams and, you know, Marquise Chris and Dragan Bender. Like, I just don't think that they need AD to exert himself in a way where, you know, we would hope he would if we're using him. So, like, obviously he could go out there and he could put up 40 points in the first half and everybody's, like, freaking out because they're, like, thinking about, you know, that an 80 burger is on the horizon.
Right.
But then that might mean that the Pels are up heavy on Phoenix and he might get limited in the second half. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, like, thinking out loud here. The bottom line
I think
is, go ahead.
Here's an interesting idea. What if you play AD, but maybe you stuff, you know, the back of your lineup with a couple of these guys, you know,
who might back him up in garbage time. A Cheick Diallo, a Nico Mirotic, you know, or you pair him with, and I talked about this the other night, you pair him with Drew Holiday in the case that Holiday goes off and gets 50 in three quarters and AD's, you know, at 40 and he doesn't have to do a blessed thing for the rest of the game. Well, you get the upside that Holiday brings, but you maybe, you know, something creative like that. You get more than one Pelicans player in your lineup so that you can kind of take the full picture of the Pelicans team beating up on Phoenix and then, you know, deal with the fallout that comes with, you know, AD maybe only playing 29 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good point. And yeah, I mean, if I'm using AD, then I'm 100% locking in like three Suns. Because if AD does well, then that means that the game stays close for a meaningful amount of time. And that means that Suns players like Ulis and Marquise Chris and like Danwell House, you know, some of those guys that are like getting run now with all the starters, you know.
Josh Jackson
could definitely still in the picture too.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Jackson and Tyler Ulis, I think, would be two guys. I mean, you're right. You're exactly right, right? And guess what? If that game's a blowout and a total disaster, then the whole thing sinks. It's a tournament-style play, you know, and you go down with the ship. But if they have to go down the line the fourth quarter, it's because Josh Jackson and Tyler Ulis both have 30 fantasy points, mm-hmm. you know?
So, yeah.
I think that's
– Yeah, so yeah. That's kind of a game you have to, like, look at it from – like a different angle, and I think that is kind of the way I would approach it.
I was talking about this last week. This point in an NBA season, it's much less about matchup with these tanking teams and teams that have, you know, rosters that are completely torn to shreds. It's as much about matchup as it is about game script. Mm-hmm. And at this point, you know, in NFL games, we worry so much about game script because we want to predict exactly how BIs are going to be used, when they're going to be used, if they're going to be used, right? Because you only have such a finite amount of opportunities for guys to be used. Well, in NBA, you now worry about opportunity because you know that people aren't going to play in normal rotations and stuff like that. So game script matters. And I think you can build your lineups according to a game script. And I say lineups because this time of year, you probably could and should be playing multiple lineups to say that, okay, you know, I know that there's risk in any single game being a blowout or a total, you know, disaster situation. So, So I think that, that's how I would play it.
Yeah.
I would just like you said, so, you know, script it out.
It's funny is that we just spent like the last, like 3 or 4 minutes or whatever, talking about the guy I would not be playing in my stud power forward spot. And the guy that I did want to play over AD is Ben Simmons. So Ben Simmons, use him. That's it. No. it's kind of like the same logic as LeBron. You know, this is a meaningful game. This is a meaningful game for both teams. You know, Cleveland does not want to get out of that 3 seed. You know that they want to stay in there. I don't know if they necessarily like have to stay in there. You know, I mean, they could afford to drop down to the 4, but you know, this is a team that doesn't want to drop down. They want to, you know, keep positive momentum going. And the Sixers, my God, like who would have thought that we would be seeing them, you know, about to knock off Cleveland from the 3 seed. You know, this time last year, like, did we even think that this would happen? You know, maybe some people with good foresight did, you know, people who were trusting the process. But, man, like, this is amazing, you know. This is so cool. Here's the thing. I love this matchup for Simmons. Like you mentioned earlier, you know, no George Hill is huge. He himself has changed the landscape of this Cleveland team because they were so vulnerable to opposing point guards pre-Hill, and they've completely transformed because the point guards, facilitators just cannot create like they were able to before. But with him off the court, you know, a little banged up lately, like, you know, it's back to, you know, point guards kind of having their way. So I think that Hill would definitely benefit in that respect. The other thing too is Cleveland's going to be coming off a back-to-back. They're on the second leg of a back-to-back. So you've got the narrative of possibly, you know, taking over the three seed. You know, Simmons is going to be highly motivated. No Embiid, possibly no Saric. I think this is a huge spot for him. The upside for him, I think, is much higher likely than Embiid, or excuse me, than AD. Obviously, AD has 100-point upside.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Simmons could go for 60 in this one.
I like that call. He's been insane. I mean, he's been over a fantasy point per minute. And if we look at the recent games, like, they've been blowing people out, and he's been out of his mind. Yeah, and so if we get a full 38 minutes from Ben Simmons, you know, pressing against this team, I really like that spot. And the price is such that, you know what, if he goes for 45, he's not going to kill you. Like, you can fit him in alongside LeBron or some of the other high-priced options on this slate. So definitely interested in Ben Simmons. I think Karl Anthony Towns might be one of my favorite plays, though. If I can find a way to get him and Simmons maybe, or him and LeBron in some lineups, mixing and matching those guys, I'm definitely going to do it. He's going to be in LA after the back-to-back versus Denver. He's averaged 42 in three games against them. But listen, I mean, we've seen the usage go way up for Karl Anthony Towns here recently, of late. And in plus matchups, he's definitely, you know, hit his stride. He had, you know, 21 attempts against Dallas, 32 attempts against Atlanta. You know, similarly against the Clippers, had a really, really nice game against the Knicks. So it seems to be that when he gets going, you know, they'll continue to feed him, let him work in situations when he has some momentum. So certainly a good sign against the Lakers that in the last 10, they've been allowing plus two fantasy points and plus 8% to the center. LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau last night combined for 80. I'm so mad that I did not play Pau Gasol. I said it on the podcast. I was like, if there's one Spur that I would actually think that you play on a hunch, it's Pau Gasol. And he goes for 30 at 4,600. I was so mad. I was all over that. And I saw this morning how he finished the night. I was like, God damn it. I knew he was going to score.
So I did one of those single game only things, just you know, kind of sitting on my ass on the couch, and I stuck LMA in the MVP spot or whatever.
Nice.
You know, and he went for like 96.
That's awesome.
Nice. But I wanted to jam in a couple extra guys. So speaking of hunches, I put Boban in there. Oh, he didn't do what I thought he
would. Wow, Boban. I showed pictures of.
I thought it was Boban against his former team.
No, I showed pictures of my Boban. Wow, that escalated.
You want to see my Boban?
You want to see my Boban? I showed pictures of Boban to my wife. She was blown away that there was a human this big. She was like, "Oh my god, what? How does he live? How does she like felt bad for his wife?" She was like, "Her neck must hurt so much." I was like, "Yes, yeah, definitely her neck. That's what we're worried about."
Jesus.
And his hands are like the size of legal pads. Like, it's obscene.
He is a freak of nature. I mean, there's a picture, you can just hop on Google Images. Like, you gotta look around for it. But, when he was on San Antonio, there was a picture of him and Kawhi has famously gigantic hands, and, Boban just dwarfs him. Yeah, I mean, Kawhi's hands are, you know, monstrous.
I know. Kawhi, the claw. They call him the claw.
Yeah. It's like his like personal logo or whatever. Yeah, his hands.
So Cat versus the Lakers. I'm into it.
Back to Cat.
He's going to play 38 minutes, especially if they lose to Denver. They're going to need to bounce back against LA here to keep them right in the standings. He's going to play a lot. He hasn't played particularly well against this team, and as the numbers say on the year, it's not that great of a matchup, but Brook Lopez, Brook Lopez and Julius Randle, good. They don't worry me a ton here. So I think Cat is certainly in play. Let's go over to the Grout here, though, Josh. Let's talk about some plays that are 9K and below. I'm going to start with the point guard here. Scary Terry, man. It's his team. It's all Scary Terry. He is going to have the ship here for the Celtics down the stretch at the point guard position. No Kyrie. And you know what? Listen, he's good enough. He's good enough to do this. Scary Terry versus the Bulls tomorrow night. Last time out against the Bulls, just had a fantasy point per minute. 30 minutes, 30 fantasy points. Nothing special. They blew him out. Could they blow him out here again? Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this team is very good. They struggled against, they struggled against the Raps, after a number of big wins that, specifically the Jazz and then the Raps at home. They lose to the Raps pretty badly the other night. I watched that game. They just weren't making shots. They were turning the ball over, and they're banged up. So you have to think that the Chicago game is a nice way for them to bounce back, get some rhythm, get some cohesiveness back together. I like Terry in this situation. He's got a fantasy point per minute. 32 minutes, probably. The Bulls have been able to be relatively respectable to keep games relatively kind of like the Nets. Like, they'll keep you in it for three quarters and then they'll let you have it in the fourth type situation. So I like the Bulls to put a little bit of pressure. I don't think they're going to put a lot of pressure, but they can put some pressure on this team. And, I think that's decent. I do worry a little bit about blowout. But at the minimum, you're going to get a fantasy point per minute from this guy. And I think you can expect the floor of 28 points. And we know he has a ceiling. He's shown massive upside in the last month of two games over 50 points. So you could easily see him go for 35, 36, 37 fantasy points here against the Bulls or more. So Terry Rozier, for me, is certainly an interesting play versus the Bulls, and the matchup has been phenomenal. Like let's be clear about this. Like, it's been phenomenal against the shooting guard, and I really like Jaylen Brown as well. But as far as versus the point guard, it's also been a plus matchup, and comparable to a lot of really other good plus matchups, the matchup with. Matchup with Charlotte has, it's a good matchup. I was trying to find a comp. I couldn't necessarily find one.
And as far as the concern about blowouts, I mean, biggest game of the season so far, I think biggest game of the season, one of his biggest games of the season was just a little over a week ago against Sacramento. So put up 57 against Sacramento, a bad team. They only won by 11 points. So, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a blowout, but, I don't really think that the blowout is too much of a concern with him. I think he's safe as hell. I like it.
Yeah, I like that call. All right, talk to me.
Yeah, there's some tempting guys up here. In these grout plays, like Teague against the Lakers, they've been horrible against point guards, but he's questionable. Tyus Jones is perfectly fine against a depleted Lakers team, so I don't really see much of a reason for them to trot Teague out there with things winding down and just having a fine point guard in Jones able to, take over against a horrific team against the point guard position without Lonzo Ball. It's also tempting to use Rondo against the Suns. If anybody gets some rest, I think it would be Rondo, his older legs, but he could totally troll us and go and get 20 assists or some shit. And, you're just punching yourself for not using him, but I don't know how likely that is. The guy I'm really into is Kemba. I'm really into Kemba. First of all, his salary, $7,400, is his second lowest salary of the season. It's the lowest he's been since mid-December, and the last time he was at $7,400 was in November. So we're getting Kemba, who, by the way, is going against Orlando. We're getting Kemba in a really nice salary. I don't know. If that is cause for concern, when a guy's salary kind of tanks like this, do you really worry?
It's the minutes that worry me, Josh. Like he's been below 30 minutes in a couple spots here recently. Like this is a toilet bowl. But then again, like I don't know. You're right. I mean, 7,400 versus Charlotte. If you give him versus Orlando, he only took. I don't. The usage has been down. The performance has been terrible. I don't know, man. You're playing with fire. I think.
But here's the thing: is he in his last four games,
okay,
he faced Cleveland with George Hill.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the Wizards, and I mean, they're not like a great team against point guards, but they're not a cakewalk. And then the Sixers, who are top five defensive team in the league.
What and do we then, do with 14 fantasy points against the Bulls?
That's exactly.
What the fuck do we do with that? Okay. Come on, yeah, man.
I mean, he was 4 for 11. Shit, man. I don't know, dude.
His they usage is just.
They got their asses handed to him, man.
He's like, not. I think he's just mailing it in. Like that. This is the problem, right? He's deferring. He's letting other guys play. He doesn't necessarily want or need the points. You know,
well, you know
see,
what it was is he was trying to get that franchise record. Were you hip to that? He got that franchise record for scoring from Del Curry. And once he got that record against, I think it was against the Knicks.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Like,
it was last week. It was a week ago. Here's the thing. He usage is down 23% versus 28% on the season. Field goal attempts down 17 on the season. Minutes are there, but like if he's not going to score, then you know, what do we want to do with this? Yeah, I love the price. I'm just worried.
Yeah, and you know, no, I hear you.
But if you're building a tournament lineup, it's got risk in it. Kemba could be the way to make or break it because he could score 40 for you real easily against this Magic mm-hmm. team.
Well, yeah, you were saying toilet bowl, and I do think it's going to be a sloppy game, but I think it could be kind of an up and down game. You know, sure. And you know, the pace could accelerate at times, and you know, he could get some fast break buckets. And
well, nobody's playing defense. I mean, both of these teams are pretty bad defensively.
So, you know, I mean, what does he need for that? You know, like 35, 30, like mid-30s. You know,
yeah.
We know he's got 50-point upside. So,
for sure.
Yeah, you know, that said, I think. Terry is in a much better spot just because, you know, they're going to the playoffs, obviously, and they're just going to kind of ride his ass, you know, while Kyrie's on the shelf. So I don't see Terry, you know, mailing anything in. You know, he's going to take advantage of this situation, this opportunity as the season winds down and against a cake team in the Bulls.
Yeah,
I think that that's a really safe play. So Kemba for GPPs, Terry for more of a cash play.
I like that call.
What do you think about shooting guard, my good man?
Shooting guard, it's Brad Beal for me. You know, I really like this matchup versus Atlanta. He'll be coming off the back-to-back, but we've been attacking them on the wing, the shooting guard. You know, shooting guards, small forwards really versus Atlanta are the way to go. But I have zero issue with getting Brad Beal in a, you know, a high usage, high upside situation. It's been +3 fantasy points, +12%. They just yielded a massive game to Josh Richardson the other night. You know, Eric Gordon had 34 here. Nick Young had 27. That's a bad sign. Donnie Mitch had nearly 40 against this team. Across the last 10 games, Bradley Beal, we know, is a very, very capable scorer. I also just don't really think that the Wiz just don't blow people out. Like, they just haven't been doing that recently. And so Beal has gone for 27, 46, and 35 against this team. So any range, you know, that's a nice range. Anywhere between 30 and 45, I'm interested. And I would lean towards 35 as the floor here and a little bit more than that against a bad Atlanta team who, you know, frankly, Ken Bazemore was actually a problem for them. He was very good. He was a good defender for them for a little while on the wing, and Beal worked him in two separate occasions. So obviously Beal is an elite talent, and you put him against a poor defense that's offering, you know, the slate's second best FD plus minus, basically, you know, overall, and as far as backcourt plus minus, the you know, the third best backcourt plus minus in efficiency. So I like Beal in this situation versus the Hawks. I think he gets chalky though if John Wall is out. Like, that's easy for everyone, right? You know, everybody goes back to Bradley Beal without John Wall, like they did right off the bat when Wall was out. So I'm into it. I would hope that John Wall plays so that maybe you get Beal a little bit lower ownership.
Yeah, for sure. And Beal is actually better with Wall.
Yeah, he's been good with, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm looking at DeRozan against Indy at 7,700. This kind of like Kemba, a player whose salary's dropped. It is just like Kemba, second lowest salary of the season. Hasn't been this low since November. You know, and the salary drop is not, you know, unexpected. I mean, I expected it to drop a little bit given the fact that he's kind of underwhelmed lately, other than that massive game against Boston the other night. You know, he's been pretty mediocre. No absolute duds or anything, but, you know, you're not trying to spend $8K on DeRozan and get like 25, 30 points from him. But that's just what he's been doing lately, unfortunately. But this is a game where I think that he steps up and puts up a pretty good line. The trends say it's a moderate matchup against Indy. But on a plus minus basis, it's actually a top 10 matchup for shooting guards. Okay. I think you can attribute that to the fact that, you know, a lot of games are, you know, against competitive good teams like the Pacers, plus minus tends to go up a little bit because the starters tend to actually play, you know, full allotment of minutes. So even though Indy's a pretty solid defensive team, you know, I think if the game stays close, which I think it should, you know, he should end up paying off that salary. And I mentioned earlier, the matchup is really tough for Depot, according to trends, according to, you know, pretty much any metric you want to look at. They're very good against shooting guards. The Raptors are.
But they're very good against wings.
They're very good against wings, yeah, definitely. But again, like, he's going to be the focal point for Indy. You know, Miles Turner could get some looks. You know, Collison, you know, was awesome tonight against Golden State. But he's going to be the focal point again and the usage hog. And according to the correlations tool on Fantasy 5x5, there's a positive correlation between opposing shooting guards. It's not an automatic, you know, that this happens, but typically when a shooting guard, or let's call it a wing, when wings are doing well in a game, it's likely that the opposing wings will do well. I guess you can attribute that to the fact that wings typically do well in like competitive up and down games. And, you know, if this game stays close, you know, and things get kind of frantic towards the end, you know, he could have a huge fourth quarter, DeRozan, and rack up a bunch of points in a short period of time. So, you know, if Depot starts to do well, then I think DeRozan will do well, kind of a correlation type of deal. So a little concerned about the recent form, but definitely interested with the salary drop in the competitive game between the Pacers and Raps.
Yeah, I think that's sharp. The small forward position tonight is actually kind of loaded. You know, we haven't had a lot of good spots here, but, you know, we talked a little bit about Otto Porter. Like, I love Otto Porter versus the Hawks tonight. Or, you know, he's had two nice 30 burgers. 30 burgers. So it's not really a burger, I guess, right? It doesn't qualify.
It's like a McChicken.
Yeah, it's a 30 nuggets, right? 30-piece nuggets. But Josh Richardson is in a good spot against the Knicks here. You know, he totally disappointed the first night in the Atlanta game, then he blows up on 27 minutes for 47 fantasy points. because you know what he did? He got four blocks. Josh Richardson has the defensive stats. He can go out there and jam them in. He just played the Knicks, had 35 fantasy points against them. What did he have? Three steals and a block. So, you know, this guy is a really capable defender, but he also is going to generate fantasy points with that defense. He has an excellent matchup at the small forward position. Ask Mario Hezonja, who scored like 30 fantasy points in the fourth quarter against the Knicks. He actually has the let me be specific here. He has the second best small forward matchup behind Otto Porter in efficiency plus minus, but the best in FanDuel plus minus. So give me some Josh Richardson against the Knicks here. I'm always in for this guy, and then people don't really play him. And the upside comes, you know what? Listen, the floor is there because of the scoring. He's going to score you 10 points or more. A couple peripherals, right? Rebounds, assists, etc. Those are relatively consistent. You add the 4 to 5 blocks and steals, and you're talking about massive, massive upside for Richardson. So I'm interested in Richardson. And Bob Cove profiles very similarly here against Cleveland. So I'm interested in Covington, who has been really good without Embiid on the floor.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's definitely an easy player to figure out the last two seasons. Anytime Embiid is out, he excels. You know, he's an awesome rebounder. You know, he's a shooter, and he gets extra looks. You know, he gets extra rebounds. He just kind of collects a lot of what Embiid leaves on the floor when he's out. And with Saric out, I mean, he's not officially out, but you know, it's possible that he's going to be out. He's questionable right now. It's even better. Saric is a very similar player to Covington. They do a lot of the same things. And, you know, Covington just, he eats up all that leftover, those leftovers that they, you know, they leave out there when they're gone. Cleveland's not a pushover on defense anymore, as we mentioned earlier in the Simmons segment, but they're still very much beatable by opposing forwards. I mean, I'm looking right now. I got Otto Porter in my lineup tonight, and in the third quarter, he's got 30 points. So he's probably going to hit 40.
He's the reason they got back in that game in the third, by the way. Like, he's a difference maker for that team. Like, you guys realize how important he is? I don't think John Wall. I think the only person who doesn't know that is John Wall.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when Wall was out, I mean, Otto really showed his importance to the Wizards. I mean, he was, you know, getting, I mean, they're getting a lot of flack for making him a max offer, but he's outstanding.
He's it. He will single-handedly put you back into games on both sides.
One of the best 3-point shooters in the league for sure. Good defensive player, just a good all-around player, very much like Robert Covington. And I just think this is such an easy cash game plug. He's 6,800. Yeah, the price has risen. Okay, so unlike Kemba, unlike DeRozan, this price has been spiking big. It's actually his highest salary since mid-December, which goes hand-in-hand with the fact that Embiid was out for a little stretch there. It's just easy. It's really not that hard.
Right.
When Embiid is out, and definitely when Saric is out, go with Covington. Now with Ilyasova in the mix, go with Ilyasova. I mean, these guys, this is one of those teams where it's kind of plug and play. You know, a lot of teams, when the stars are out, you go for their other stars. But with the Sixers, you know, you can tell they're a really good team because when their stars are out, their bench guys can come right in and step up and be productive. Covington's not a bench guy. He's a starter, but he kind of takes a backseat to the Saric's and Embiid's and Simmons of the team. And, you know, but when they're out, lock him in. So I love him in this matchup, and it doesn't hurt that Cleveland is easy to pick on with forwards.
Yeah. I think that going to the 3 and the 4 is really the only way that you can go to them. You know, you want to get a little bit of that rebounding upside, and I think Covington probably offers that. So Aaron Gordon falls into the same bucket as Kemba Walker. Minutes are there. Is it worth going to him? This is actually a sneaky matchup against Charlotte. The four has been a place to exploit. Ask Lauri Markkanen. Lauri Markkanen just exploited them to the max. He played 26 minutes. He scored 36 fantasy points. He smashed them the other night. The four has been a spot to go to, according to efficiency plus minus at the power forward position, which Gordon is a true four. They have the fourth best matchup on the slate. And that's behind Phoenix, right? It's behind Phoenix and Philadelphia, like you just talked about. So Orlando, strangely enough, in a good situation here against Charlotte. I don't know what to do with that, though. Like, Aaron Gordon has been fine, right? 25 to 30 minutes in the last couple games. Maybe we get him over 30 against Charlotte here, in which case this, 0.8 to 0.9 or a fantasy point per minute, basically 0.8 to a fantasy point per minute is really useful. We don't have a lot of references for Gordon's performances this season. You know, he was in and out of the lineup for a while. He had 42 early in the season against this team, but that was way back in October. He had 30 in a game in December, and he missed the other one because of injury. He's been out for so long that it's hard to understand exactly what his projections can look like. He's really, really good in plus matchups where it's easy for him to score. This could be one of those games. He had 25 minutes and 30 fantasy points against the Mavs. Could he have a nice game here as well? Yes, but I think he falls into the same bucket as Kemba. He's a high-risk, high-reward type play. What are your thoughts on Aaron Gordon here? And am I smarter to just go to Kyle Kuzma or Julius Randle, who I'm a little bit more interested in, even though they don't quite have the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, if what I was saying earlier with the Kemba segment, that it could be a sloppy up and down game, if that ends up being the case, then that is right in Gordon's wheelhouse, because, I mean, he is a fast break guy. He can collect boards. He can rack up all kinds of peripherals. He flourishes in that type of game environment. And if you think that it's going to be a sloppy one, then he's an awesome play. And I would definitely pair him up, with some Hornets on the other side. Just because I don't think that it's going to be like a one-sided affair for either team. It's kind of going to be like two idiots banging their heads against each other, but, those two idiots are throwing some Mike Tyson types of punches. they got some really good players on both teams that can put up awesome fantasy outings. And I just think that if the game stays close, but it's like nice and sloppy, that guys like Gordon and Vooch and Dwight and Kemba, can rack up a ton of production.
Well, so long as they play, right? You got to get them. They got to play the fourth quarter, which is the hard part.
Like, yeah, they do. But, you look at the standings. I don't know off the top of my head right now. Okay, I got it right here. Yeah, neither team is like, okay, I was going to say neither team. The Magic are, what are they? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're like fourth or fifth in the lottery ranks. I guess they would like to lose this game, no?
Yeah, they would.
I mean, I don't think the Hornets like necessarily want to like tank it out, it's kind of like being in the 10 seed, they kind of still want to win some games for moral victory, I guess. I don't know. They're like, I guess, is there some sort of like divisional rivalry between the Magic and the Hornets at all? The vaunted Orlando Magic Charlotte Hornets rivalry.
Yeah.
Back in the Larry Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal days.
It's a storied
rivalry. I remember that series back in 1927, the 27 Hornets and the 27 Magic. Those are some storied franchises.
Dude, have you ever watched the Penny and Shaq 30 for 30?
No, I didn't.
It's so good.
Is it?
So good. Mostly for the highlights.
Penny.
Just the highlights from the 90s that you just don't really have access to.
Nick Anderson.
Oh, so good.
That was my team, man. Shaq, I had this.
Well, it's all good. Yeah. Nice. Everybody did, dude. The 90s Magic were amazing for our generation.
Yeah.
All right, talk to me about Marcus Morris, because I love this play. This is a high floor type guy, 5,700. I like the price.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of power forwards on this slate that I'm into. You know, you mentioned Julius Randle and Kyle Kuzma are very interesting. You know, obviously you got Brow and Simmons, but then there's also like Kay Love, James Johnson is interesting. I guess if Dario plays, he's interesting. You know, there's a couple guys, you know, in this range here of Marcus Morris's, but I'm really into Morris. First of all, he's trending in the right direction as far as minutes and usage go. With Kyrie out, like, he really takes a big step up. And in his past three games, really, like in the very recent term, I mean, he's really trending in the right direction. 34 minutes average. Yeah. A whopping 30% usage. I mean, he and Terry Rozier are like the focal points of this team right now. I mean, obviously, you've got Al Horford, you've got Jason Tatum, you know, you've got Jaylen Brown, you know, but Marcus Morris is like the veteran that they're really leaning on down the stretch here. So I think that he's super safe. The Celtics, do they have a shot at the one seed? Like, I don't know.
No. They last night by losing to the Raps, they
oh,
lost.
Oh, yeah.
It.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah. But, you know, they want to end on positive momentum, you know. So they're not going to, like, say, okay, we've got this two seed locked in. Let's just mail it in and start the playoffs. However note we're going to begin them on. Like, they want to win. Even if they're facing the lowly Bulls, you know, they want to win all these games and get some good momentum going into the first round of the playoffs. And speaking of whom, the Bulls, this is a team that's just horrific against opposing power forwards. According to the Trends Tool, they're the third worst team against the position. So when you combine all these factors, I mean, his minutes and usage, you know, the necessity, the absolute necessity for them to be on a positive momentum swing entering the playoffs, you know, I mean, odds are they're going to be facing, you know, the Wizards or the Bucks, you know, maybe the Heat. I mean, these are teams that can beat them in a 7-game series. So, or is it a 5-game series? I can't remember. 7 or 5 in first?
Well,
Wait, gotcha.
In the playoffs, it's a 7.
It's all 7. I can't remember baseball.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Series. Yeah, it's 7. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, but yeah, no, I like him a lot. I love him for the salary savings compared to some of these guys, too.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. I think Morris is a score first guy, too. Like, the floor for him comes from just score straight points, which you love. The points are there. So let's talk center here. I'm into Jonas Valanciunas. Jonas Valanciunas versus the Indiana Pacers. They struggle in the interior. It's been a thing. It's been a thing all year. The matchup for Valanciunas is, I believe, the third best on the slate in efficiency plus minus. So certainly a good spot for Jonas here. He is, you know, risky, and I think a lot of people avoid him because of the variance that you get. But in situations that he can exploit, he's going to exploit them. He had 51 fantasy points in 27 minutes last time out against this team. That is no joke, man. He scored 16 points and 17 rebounds. So a whole lot of upside against this Pacers team that struggles in the front court. And it's plus matchups. You want him in a plus matchup. This is a plus matchup for sure. He's done well with them. You know, and I was watching that game the other night against Boston. The funny thing is when he is in the game, things run around him. Like, they try to get him the ball
a ton and let him go to work in space in the middle, because they know that, you know, what they're really trying to do is they're use an interior look with him and kind of play from the inside while he's out there. So they're going to give him the attempts. They're going to give him the usage. They're going to get him out of the game. And then they're going to run their small ball lineups where they spread everybody out and do that whole thing, you know? So he is a guy that has a lot of upside. I think he also has upside because he's going to be relatively low owned. So Valanciunas for me is going to be a nice pivot type play at the center position.
Yeah, I love it. I love Joel. He's going to be in a really nice spot here. So very safe play for sure. Dwight Howard, he is expensive and he is risky. He's 8,700 going against his old stomping grounds in the Orlando Magic. Al Horford's really tempting. He's got an awesome matchup against the Bulls. You know, there's a couple other guys. I mean, obviously the expensive guys, you know, definitely interested in Kyle O'Quinn and Miles Turner, Joval, of course, you know, Brolo, you know, Dwayne Dedmon's getting some good run here down the stretch. Even, you know, Hassan Whiteside could magically show up and do something. But Dwight's a revenge narrative guy. You know, he really yeah. does show up against his old squads. You know, anytime you've got Dwight playing against his old squads, and there are a ton of them, he shows up. And there's a positive correlation between point guards and centers. So if we do like Kemba, then we have to like Dwight. Or I guess if we like Dwight, then we like Kemba.
Josh, I think what we're telling the people here is that it's Orlando Charlotte game stacks.
You want to? I honestly it's like. It. I feel like that is a pretty decent play in a you know, in some low dollar GPPs, whatever you can afford to just
get it in
exactly.
Your window,
just
you'll be winning for the first hour.
No, just
league.
I mean, first of all, you're going to get to see a lot of money saying, you know, up on your currently winning little green logo up there. And second of all, if the game stays close and it's super sloppy and the teams are hitting their shots, you know, then it could turn into a big surprise and there could be a lot of production. So game stack that motherfucker, man. Kemba, Dwight, fucking what's his face?
This is guys, this is very loose advice. Loose advice. Play a dollar. Do not play.
Yeah,
more than
just
dollar
stick a dollar and game advice. Stack that bitch. And Orlando, they suck against centers. I mean, we saw it all year long.
Orlando
they
sucks.
Suck, period. But they suck against centers. I mean, we just saw Kyle Olajuwon. I mean, Kyle O'Quinn put up
Kyle Olajuwon.
Sorry, I don't know. He's been playing really well lately.
That was awesome.
And, you know, I got.
He's not that right. good.
Against Orlando, he is.
That's true.
He went up 40 against them. So, you know, Dwight could, he's got 60 point upside.
Yes, this is true. Let's go over to the bargain basement, Josh, 5,500 and below. And then we're going to throw together a lineup for the people. Who are you looking at this point guard position?
I mean, who the fuck do you think I'm looking at, Sean? It's DJ Augustine, baby.
Get out of here. Shut up. We're done with Charlotte Orlando takes.
I mean, obviously.
No,
I mean,
it's yes, Tyler Ulis.
Of course. I mean, he's going to play, like, yeah. all the minutes. And right. he is probably, like, the most experienced player on the team right now. Just crazy. No, he's been good, man. He's been really good lately. And going against New Orleans is like, I mean, you got to love it. You know, I mean, he's scoring 30 plus yeah, points pretty much every single night. And he's still only 5,600.
Yep. No, I like him. I like him a lot. I think depending on who we get, by the way, in the whole in the Dallas situation, Aaron Harrison can be in play. He played 40 minutes against Orlando the other night.
Yeah.
40. That's insanity. So depending on how the Orlando point guard situation shakes out with Dennis Smith Jr., he could definitely be a guy. I like Sato if Wall sits. John Wall's going ham tonight, by the way.
What about our Atlanta boys, Isaiah Taylor and Tyler Dorsey?
Yeah, Taylor's price has come down a little bit. He's okay against Washington. Tyler Dorsey's okay too. Neither of them get Tyler Dorsey isn't going to get more than 30 minutes. I don't know why that is. I mean, he got 38. I guess it was the back-to-back, right? Maybe he will get 30 minutes.
Yeah, here. It's possible. I mean,
I don't know. Do you want 30 minutes against Brad Beal?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not too concerned about that. Right? I mean, the other thing is, you know, they're given a ton of minutes to the to Damian Lee, the 10-day contract guy. He's taken a lot of minutes from Dorsey, so.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the shooting guard here. 5,500 and below. Jaylen Brown is borderline lock against Chicago. That's just too cheap. He's going to be able to go out there, 30 points, plenty of usage. I mean, come on now. Like, the minutes are there. The usage should be there. Bad team. You know, I don't know why he can't show up against teams like Sacramento and Phoenix, but Chicago. He went out and had 27. Okay, fine. 27 across 28 minutes. I could deal with that. But I think he also has, you know, potential for 35 here.
Definitely. Yeah, I like him. And on the other side, I like Sean Kilpatrick. Speaking of 10-day contract guys who parlayed that into a
I guess they signed him for – I think it's for salary filler. They had to put him on a deal.
That's exactly what it is. Was kind of puzzling. The 2-year contract like to Sean Kilpatrick, and they've already got like multiple young wings there, but he's interesting. They're giving him a ton of run down the stretch. They're letting him shoot to his little heart's content. So he's interesting going against Boston. And he's got an Irish last name, so there's that narrative there too.
Irish first name too.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Josh Hart going against Mini. He's going to play a ton of minutes. Ben McLemore going against his former team, Sacramento Kings.
Oh, my God. Thrift Shop. That's what his nickname is.
And then this is not.
I hate Memphis. I hate all things Memphis.
I know you do.
You were the worst. All right.
Don't hate Memphis so much, man. Come on,
dude.
It's a cute.
I like the city. They don't deserve this shit from this ownership group. All right, small forward. Etuan Moore, 5K versus Phoenix. David Nwaba, 5K versus Boston. I'm into both of them. Marshawn Brooks versus Sacramento. He just played 30 minutes and had 25 real life points against New Orleans. So there's that. Justice Winslow has a nice matchup. Dylan Brooks only played 15 minutes. Don't know why. Doesn't make sense to me, but what do I know? Justin Jackson, by the way, he played 40 minutes against Phoenix the other night. Smash City USA. He could definitely be in play against Memphis here. So all of those guys are interesting to me. Anyone that I missed?
Yeah, of course. You missed CJ Miles going against his old team.
Oh, shut up, CJ Miles. With all of those other G League players, why would we want to play CJ Miles?
Yeah, no. As fun as the narratives are, one thing I'm like really learning this year is down the stretch here, all these like G Leaguers and 10-day contract guys on tanking teams are smashes because their salaries like really linger down low for.
Yeah.
A while, and if you can get in ahead of the increase, you can really get a lot of value because when a guy's on a 10-day contract, they're going to play.
Like it's like Bitcoin in December of 2000.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That is a pain point for me right now.
All right, let's go to power forward. Nico Mirotic, 5,500 versus the Suns. I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yep.
But the guy I like more in that game is Marquise Chris, 5,500.
Get out of the town.
Hey, he's been balling lately. He's been putting up a lot of nice lines. What did he had a really he had good a in garbage. Monster game. Yeah, good in garbage, but there's going to be garbage. Look,
Ersan, 5,200. Yes.
Yeah. Oh no, for sure. Ersan, definitely. Just trying to like.
Who else?
I'm just kind of scrolling through right now. I guess like maybe you could get a little crazy and go like Ivan Rabb.
Yeah, he played 25 minutes. Yeah, yeah, you could,
and he can clean up on the glass. He's a good rebounder. He could double double.
Oh, check Diallo, dude. Min price, check Diallo.
Yeah, for sure.
If where's Ryan when we need him? We need to check Diallo. Oh, he's check your check mail meter.
Oh, his check meter is like to 11. He loves him.
All right, centers. Let's talk about these centers here. I like sneaky Greg Monroe. I think sneaky Greg Monroe here. Chicago terrible against the center. He gets 25 minutes. He could score 30 points against this team.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. What about friend of the pod? Rashawn Holmes against.
Oh, Rashawn Holmes, definitely.
Yeah.
He's been good, man. He's been good in the limited minutes, but the problem is the minutes are limited. He got 18 against Detroit. I think that's what he gets against Cleveland. I don't think he's going to get 25 like he did against Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. One guy that I've been riding pretty hard lately is Marcin Gortat. And I think the reason, I mean, centers against Houston, like traditional centers against Houston, are a tough call. You know, it's very risky. And yeah. And he had a massive dud against them. But prior to that, I mean, he was scoring over 20 points pretty much every single night. Down the stretch here, they're kind of getting him into playoff form. I think that they're kind of, you know, ramping up his minutes, and going against Atlanta might be a really nice game for him to just like pop. And we saw Carl Anthony Towns go for 81 against them. If we could even get a third of that, I think we'd all be happy.
Yeah, I think that's smart. That's a good call. I mean, that's it, right? I mean, Deontay Davis is going to play for Memphis versus Sacramento. Marcus Gasol has been ruled out, so it's going to be Deontay Davis and who's the other guy?
Oh shit, his name's on the tip of my tongue. I mean, obviously Ivan Rabb, but
that's it. I think it's just they don't have the other big man for the Memphis play. The Memphis big man on this team.
Oh my god, that game is going to be so gross.
It's going to be the worst game of the year.
Easy.
They should just invite people in to like get out of the rain.
They should.
And it's like, I don't know if it's raining there tomorrow, but I mean, I can't even like Kobe Simmons played 25 minutes against New Orleans and 27 minutes, had 4 points and 2 rebounds. What was he doing?
Who is like the best player in this game? Like, who's the best NBA player in this game?
Willie Cauley-Stein?
I guess.
No.
Who is their like per leader?
Oh my god, that is a really hard question. I mean, it would have been Marc Gasol, but like he's not playing.
Buddy,
is it Bogdan? Maybe it's Bogdan.
Jesus Christ, that is a dog shit game. I'm gonna watch it.
I hope that FanDuel has the single game series on this game.
Fuck Indy and Toronto. Fuck guys, Cleveland listen. Philly. I'm watching Sacramento at Memphis.
Let's go to the bar. Can you put on the Sacramento-Memphis game, for Christ's sake, please?
They'll kick you out even in a Memphis bar, man.
Oh, my God. All right, that's enough of this. Let's build a lineup. You want first pick or you want me to take first pick?
Well, you probably already have a lineup built, so.
No, I don't, but I do have Jonas Valanciunas go.
Oh. Dang, son. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, then I guess I have to delete Jonas and put in. No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say put in Dwight Howard.
Get out of here. Charlotte, Orlando game stacks.
All right. You got Joval. I'm going to throw in Drew Holiday.
Oh, nice. Drew Holiday. Power forward. I like the value. I was just shopping around there. Marcus Morris is interesting to me. Yeah, there's a couple of good guys in that range, the 50s.
He's a good guy.
Good guy.
Good guy, Marcus Morris. Yeah, he's a good guy. GG. How about we go with Bobkov?
Bob Covington. All right. I think you could probably, well, dude, Jimmy Butler is playing tonight. How ridiculous is that?
Is he really?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I don't understand what the point of that is.
If they beat Denver, they're basically locked into the playoff seed.
I mean, I guess.
Because they beat Denver twice already, and they have two more games against them. So if they win the tiebreaker with Denver, they could basically lock their playoff hopes up. They would win the tiebreaker tonight. So I think that's what they're doing.
Okay. Makes sense.
Bobkov. Okay, fine. Bobkov. Are we playing LeBron here? Yeah, we're playing LeBron, right?
Yeah.
Can we try to fit in LeBron and Ben Simmons?
Let's do that in the next lineup. Okay. Wait, hold on. Let's see what happens if we put them both in. We have 3,900 left over.
It's fine. You just play all the Memphis players. I mean, it's very easy if you change Bobkov, but yeah.
We're like, Drew Holiday. Let's remove Drew Holiday.
No. Why? Don't remove Drew. Remove Bob Covington.
Why Bobkov? Okay, fine.
Sorry, I'm being a bully.
All right, remove Bob.
That's just a
remove
lot. Bob. I think.
And who are you going to put in?
Etuan Moore versus Phoenix. Right? Or Marshawn Brooks.
Put in Etuan. Well, no, but then if you remove
more,
this is poppycock, I tell you.
This slate is fucked.
Fuck the slate. Okay, put Etuan in.
Jonathan Motley. He scored a huge line against the Orlando. 40 minutes, 14 points there, Jonathan Motley.
Do you think that he calls his family the Motley Crew?
Yeah, of course. That's exactly what it's like. Their family, like family reunion T-shirt, Motley Crew, 1,000%. And if they don't, someone needs to just like get them, you know, get them squared away there. All right, let's go. Etuan Moore, shooting guard, 4,500.
We need a shooter. We need a shooter from the Cleveland game. Who shoots more, Jordan Clarkson or Rodney Hood?
Oh, no, neither one. Jaylen Brown. That. Give me.
We're going to put in Kyle Korver.
Ben McLemore.
Ben McLemore.
Through a shop. Kyle Korver. All right, he's min price. That's actually really interesting. But he's playing like it, man.
Yeah,
14 minutes. Fuck that.
Put in Ben McLemore. Ben McLemore, do it.
Ben,
guarantee he's going to play over 30 minutes.
Guaranteed 14 fantasy points. Guaranteed.
Do you remember that stretch where Ben McLemore was like the player du jour?
The thing that I remember the most about Ben McLemore is that the one game that he had this year, the one real gnarly blow up game that he had. It was against the Bulls, or excuse me, against the Wolves. And he single-handedly like beat the Timberwolves and like changed the entire arc of their season. Like a jackass.
And so that's why he's awesome.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, he in early March went 33, 37, 31, 17 against Utah, 31, 24.
Okay, fine.
And he was getting minutes. So if he gets minutes, then go with the quick shot, baby. So now we got 4,900 for two point guards.
It's not hard.
What the fuck are you going to do about it, Sean?
I'm going to do
DJ Augustine.
Definitely going to do Tyler Euless, right? I mean, do you do Tyler? He's 50. He's expensive.
You could do Tyler Euless and Tyler Dorsey.
You could do Aaron Harrison and Tyler Euless. That works.
You could.
Yeah. This is a disaster of a lineup. But you got the good thing is you got Giroux, you got LeBron, you got Simmons, right? And Jovell and Marcus Morris. That's a pretty respectable build.
And Tyler Euless.
And
I mean that. And I truly do mean that.
And two G League players. Yeah. Well, by the way, the Aaron Harrison thing, you can only play him if Dennis Smith is out. So who knows?
Right.
All right. That's enough.
Let's fucking call it a show.
Yeah,
so this is the last NBA pod of
of
the year, right?
Yeah. This is our last NBA pod.
You're taking a little break, right?
I'm going to finish next week the last couple games of the week.
Okay.
Of the season. And then, I'm going to take a couple days off and fire up MLB when I fucking feel like it.
I'm so excited.
All right. Major League Baseball. All right, Josh, good night. Good luck.
Sean, it's always a pleasure. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.